Is it going? Okay, so I think we're going to make sure 11:15 from now on, plain other. So today we begin our next malacha, which is the malacha of Zareya. Zareya is going to be another two-day sugya. So hopefully, Mirza Shemi will be finishing it tomorrow day. And then Thursday, we'll start the next malacha, which is Kotzer. Okay, so let's just give a brief introduction before we get to the big topic for the day. Zareya, as we know, just to repeat one more time, we know we have our Sidur de Pas, the first 11 malachas in the Mishnah, are the 11 stages in the sequence of making bread. And they took place somewhere in the Mishkan, so these 11 activities become our first 11 malachos. Zareya is the second activity in the Sidur de Pas. If you want to make bread, so after you plow, you plant your wheat kernels, whatever it is. And so that becomes our next Av Malacha. Now, just two introductory points, just to kick off the Malacha. Point number one, so in terms of the Av Malacha of Zareya, we have the same Machlokas Miri versus Rambam. I put on the Mar Makomas that Gemara on Gimel and Beis. The Gemara gave us a whole list of activities that fit under Malacha Zareya, aside from planting seeds. Gemara points out that pruning, planting saplings, bending a shoot into the ground, and grafting are all included in Malacha Zareya. And we have the same Machlokas Miri versus Rambam as to what exactly is the Av Malacha. How do we classify these different activities under the Av? The Miri always has one Av Malacha. Planting seeds is the Av Malacha, whereas all other examples you ever come up with are all toldas. So that's the Shita of the Miri. He spells this out on Ayin Gimel, Lamed Aleph in the Mishnah. Whereas the Rambam, if you saw, I didn't put it on the Mar Makomos, but the Rambam in Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel, so he spells out that all these activities on Ayin Gimel and Beis are included in the Av Malacha. He has this musig of Ko-Avos, multiple forms of the Av of Zareya. So that's all the classic ongoing debate as to how to classify the different Avos Malachos. Now, we're not going to lumdicize it again. We already did a conceptual analysis last week, so we're going to leave it as is, but I just wanted to highlight it one last time. Fine. Point number two, the second issue we always have to figure out with each Malacha, after you pin down the Av Malacha, is what's the productive quality of that malacha? That's always the essence of the Isser malacha. Each malacha has its own productive characteristic that governs where they apply. So what's the productive characteristic of Malacha Zareya? So as opposed to Malachas Chorish, which took a whole effort to figure out what the sort of Chorish was, by Zareya, it's an explicit Gemara in Moikatan on Beis on Beis. Gemara Moikatan on Beis on Beis tells us that the Yisod of Malacha Zareya, the accomplishment of this malacha that spawns the toldas, is letzmuchei peri, the promotion of plant growth. Any activity that promotes plant growth fits under the malacha of Zareya. That's the essence of this malacha. So those are the two introductory points, just in terms of the Av Malacha, Miri versus Rambam, and the productive quality is the promotion of plant growth. Okay. So now we get to our first big topic for the day, which we'll take up today's shiur, and that is the following. With most of the malachos, there's something unique about the malach of Zareya in contrast to most of the other malachos. With most of the other malachos, as soon as you do the activity of the malacha, you immediately accomplish the purpose of the malacha. Like, for example, with the malacha of Chorish, so what's the activity of malachas Chorish? Plowing the ground. What's the purpose of the malacha? So we had a little bit of a machlokes, what the purpose is, but we'll call it softening and improving the ground. That's the purpose of Malachas Chorish. As soon as you do the act of plowing, you immediately accomplish the purpose of having softened and having improved the ground. That's what happens with Malachas Chorish. Just to give one other example, with the Malacha of Tochen. Tochen is the Malacha of grinding. What's the activity of the Malacha? Grinding something up. What's the purpose of the Malacha? So the Rambam tells us in Perek Zayin Halacha Hey, the Yisod of Tochen is about taking a guf echa, taking one entity, and breaking it down into smaller components. That's the purpose of Malachas Tochen. As soon as you grind it up, you immediately have achieved that purpose of breaking it down into smaller components. They occur at one and the same time. In contrast to most other Malachos, when we encounter Malachas Zareya, we have a phenomenon, and that is that there's a time delay between the activity of the Malacha and the accomplishment of the purpose. What's the activity of Malachas Zareya? Putting seeds into the ground. That's the activity behind the malacha. What's the purpose of the malacha? The purpose is, let's muche peri, to cause the seeds to take root and to grow, to cause them to grow into a plant. But it takes time before you put seeds into the ground. After seeds are put into the ground, it takes time before they actually grow. So there's a time delay between the activity of the malacha and the purpose of the malacha. And so that sparks the major discussion in the Achronim. So when are you chayiv for malacha zaraya? Are you chayiv at the time of the activity, when you put the seeds into the ground? Or do we have to wait for the purpose to be accomplished? Should we wait until the seeds take root? That's the big time machlokas between the many different Achronim. I just put the Rashash and the Minchas Chinuch on the Mar Mekumos. They're the two classic names in this machlokas. So we have two basic approaches in the Achronim on this issue. When do you violate Malachas Zorei? Fine. So let's start with the first approach, which is the Shita of the Rashash. The Rashash draws a conclusion on this issue of when you violate Malachas Zorei from analyzing the Malacha of Bishul. Because Bishul is one of the other rare Malachos where we have this time delay between the act of the Malacha and accomplishing the purpose. What's the activity of Malachas Bishul? Taking a raw piece of food and putting it onto the fire. What's the purpose of Malachas Bishul? To cause the food to become cooked. But as we know, when you take a raw piece of food, you put it on the fire, it takes some time before it actually becomes cooked. So again, we have a time delay between the act and the purpose. So it says the Rashash, if we can figure out when you violate Malachas Bishul, that should shed light on the Malacha of Zaraya. Since Zaraya has the same infrastructure, the same internal makeup as Malachas Bishul, so if we can figure out when you're chayiv for Bishul, that should shed light when you're chayiv for Malachas Zaraya. That's the argument of the Rashash. And this is where we come to the Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Because the Gemara there tells us explicitly when you're chayiv for Malachas Bishul. It says the Gemara on Daf Dalet that if you take a raw piece of dough and you put it, you know, uncooked dough, and you put it into the oven on Shabbos, if you pull it out of the oven before it bakes, you will be putter from Malachas Bishul. That's the background halacha there in that Gemara on Daf Dalet. If you pull the dough out before it bakes, you're going to prevent yourself from violating Malachas Bishul. So it says the Rashash, we see from this Gemara, that Malachas Bishul is not complete when you put the dough in the oven. If you finish the malacha when you put the dough in the oven, then taking it out of the oven before it bakes wouldn't do anything. If you finish the malacha, the game's over. If the Gemara is telling me that you can take the dough out before it bakes, we see that the malacha only begins by putting it in the oven, but it's only complete once the dough actually bakes. And so that's why if you pull the dough out before it bakes, you're going to save yourself from violating Malachas Bishul. So says the Rashash, okay, so we see by Malachas Bishul, when do you violate the malacha? Not at the time of the activity, at the time that you accomplish the purpose. Once the dough is actually baked, that's when you violate Malachas Bishul. So that should now carry over to Malachas Zoreya. Zoreya as well has the same split between the act and the purpose. So says the Rashash, the malacha is only going to begin when you put the seeds in the ground, but it doesn't become complete until the seeds actually take root. So that's all approach number one, the Shita of the Rashash. When do you violate Malachas Bishul? You only violate it once the seeds actually take root. You have to first place the seeds in the ground, but until they take root, you don't violate this Malacha, and its precedent is for Malachas Bishul, where we see that you're not chayiv for Bishul until the dough actually bakes. Miles.
So by the Rashash, you would be over Zoreya when you put it in the ground, and you would be putter if you take it out before Shabbos?
Yes, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Good. Okay. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch, and he raises a logical difficulty with the Rashash. Says the Minchas Chinuch, the Rashash's Shita is illogical. It is absolutely untenable. He doesn't quote the Rashash by name, but he mentions this possibility for when you violate Malachas Zoreya, and he finds it illogical. What's the difficulty? So his problem is as follows. He proves from a certain Mishnah in Shvias and a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yod that it takes seeds at least 3 days to take root. It's a scientific fact. Also, takes a few days before seeds take root. Says the Minchas Chinuch, a minimum of 3 days. So it comes out, according to the Rashash, says the Minchas Chinuch, that it's impossible to finish the entire malacha of Zoreya on Shabbos itself. Because when I put the seeds into the ground on Shabbos, it's going to take at least 3 days for the seeds to take root, which means according to the Rashash, if you're not chayiv until the Hashrasha, you're not going to be chayiv until Tuesday. Says the Minchas Chinuch, that is absolutely untenable. The issue to do malacha is an issue to malacha on Shabbos. There's no problem doing malacha on Tuesday. There's no problem doing malacha for 6 days. You cannot tell me that the malacha is only complete after Shabbos. If that would be the case, says the Minchas Chinuch, there would not have been 39 malachos. Zoreya would not have been instituted as a malacha. It's inconceivable that a malacha would be done after Shabbos itself. That's the logical difficulty that he finds with the Shita of the Rishash. And that now pushes us into his approach, which is approach number two. So says the Minchas Chinuch, when you chayev from malacha Zoreya, you're chayev immediately when you place the seeds into the ground. When you do the activity, you don't have to wait for the purpose. The malach of Zoreya begins and ends by placing the seeds into the ground. That is the entire malacha. We don't care about the seeds taking root. And so, therefore, says the Menachas Chinuch, the entire malacha is taking place on Shabbos itself. As soon as you place the seeds into the ground on Shabbos, you've done the entire malacha, and we have no illogical malacha that is going on after Shabbos. Now, of course, the Rishash brought a precedent to a shita from Bishul. He didn't just say it. He didn't just come up, you know, take it out of a hat. He brought a right to this idea from Bishul. By Bishul, we have this time delay between the activity and the purpose. And by Bishul, it's an explicit gemara. You're not chayiv until the seeds take root, until the bread is baked. So how does the Minchas Chinuch respond to the precedent of the Rishash? What does he do with the malacha of Bishul? So he tells us explicitly what he does with the malacha of Bishul. Says the Minchas Chinuch, you can't bring me a raya from malacha of Bishul. Bishul is one malacha. Zoreya is another malacha. When it comes to Bishul, you're not chayiv until the dough becomes baked. That's by Malachas Bishul. By Zoreya, has his own regulations. By Zoreya, you're chayiv immediately as the seeds are placed into the ground. They're two independent malachos. They have their own regulations. But what's critical is as follows, that by Malachas Bishul, says the Minchas Chinuch, it's perfectly fine to have this added regulation. It's okay to require the food to become baked before you're chayiv. Because even if we add this extra regulation, it's still going to become complete on Shabbos itself. On Shabbos itself, you can take a raw piece of food, put it onto the fire, and it's going to cook on Shabbos itself. So there's no problem having this regulation by Malachas Bishul. As opposed to by Malachas Zoreya, if you would have said like the Rishash that you have to wait for the seeds to take root, we'd have this impossible malacha that's going on into the week. And so therefore, by Zoreya, we're forced to conclude the malacha is complete once the seeds are placed into the ground. So these are the basic facts in today's sugya here. We're having a machlokas. When do you violate Malachas Zoreya? Shash is saying you don't violate it until you accomplish the purpose once the seeds take root. He's bringing a precedent from Malachas Bishul, where you see you're not chayiv until the dough is baked. Whereas the Minchas Chinuch is saying that that's illogical. You can't have this notion of a malacha dragging on into the week. And so therefore, Malachas Zoreya is done as soon as you place the seeds into the ground. And don't ask me from Bishul. Bishul is one malacha. Zoreya is a different malacha. And by Bishul, even if we add this regulation, you'll still finish the malacha on Shabbos. By Zoreya, if we would have said like the Rishash, the malacha never would make any sense. Yeah, Elliot.
So the way Rabbi is explaining the Svara of the Minchas Chinuch is that just because you could fulfill both parts of Bishul and Shabbos, that's why we need both of them?
It's possible. I'm not necessarily explaining why, but we're explaining why. What's the difference between Bishul and Zoreya, such that by Bishul it's okay to have this added regulation, but Zoreya doesn't. By Bishul, even if we add this regulation, it's still going to come out to be a malacha that can be done in Shabbos itself, as opposed to Zoreya.
Just because it's okay, so why do we add it?
Why do we add it? You're saying, what is it about Bishul that distinguishes Bishul from Zoreya? Right. So off the cuff, we can say that it's very mistaber for the malachos. We're all about productivity. So it's certainly more understandable to try to have the purpose integrated into the malacha itself. If you just do the act, you don't accomplish the purpose. We can appreciate why that's not as satisfying as when the purpose is accomplished. By Bishul, there's a certain benefit of having the purpose be integrated into the definition of the malacha, because we're all about productivity. By Zoreya, we can't get it, so we're forced to distinguish. Yeah, Hananiah?
So according to Rishash, the reason why you'd be chayav by Zoreya is because of the fact
we didn't start the analysis. We have to start the analysis right now. So I'll set you up, and then we'll see if you can finish this up. But let me just do the setup first. Yeah, Miles.
I mean, I don't know if this is what Ellie was mentioning, but it's according to the Minchas Chinuch, it's hard to imagine that the purpose of Zoreya is to throw something in the ground.
Well, he certainly agrees that that you have to put it in an area where it's fit to grow. And when you put it in the ground, it's geared towards accomplishing that purpose. When you put it in an area where it's fit to grow, so you've started the process of causing it to grow. He's just saying that we can't add the purpose into the malacha itself. Yeah.
You know, I'm saying all the malachas are different, but they're all the same in the sense that what they are doing is, I'm accomplishing this thing, this creative activity, the creative activity by Zohar is not throwing it in the ground.
Okay, so let me come back to that. I'm gonna come back to this.
Even though it's different, like all the kashas that the Minchas can ask, but you can't. It's not 38 malachas are all the same, and then there's one that's different.
So I'm gonna play another. I'm gonna try and readdress your issue. Do you have really something? So we're going to get there, Lena. Okay, fine. So the big issue we now have to discuss is how the Rishash is going to respond to the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. And the Minchas Chinuch has a pretty strong logical difficulty with the Rishash, that the Issur to do Malacha is an Issur on Shabbos. It's not an Issur to do Malacha during the week. So how is the Rishash going to respond to the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch? So I'm going to set you guys up, and then if you want to step in, someone can just finish this off. We just need a very simple lumdis to answer up for the Rishash. In order to appreciate what's going on, to step this answer up, we now need to just do a very simple analysis of the Maisa Malacha of Malacha Saraya. What's the halachic activity that violates Malacha Saraya? In Mitzias, so you're throwing seeds into the ground, that's what's taking place in Mitzias. But on halachic level, we have to ask ourselves, what's the legal activity, what's the halachic activity that violates this Malacha, what we call the Maisa Malacha? So the Minchas Chinuch obviously is holding that the Maisa Malacha of Zaraya is sowing seeds. Placing seeds into the ground is the legal activity that violates this Malacha. The whole Maisa Malacha, therefore, is taking place on Shabbos itself. Since the whole Maisa Malacha is on Shabbos, so the Malacha makes perfect sense. That's the Shita of the Minchas Chinuch. What we need to analyze is, what's the Maisa Malacha according to the Rishash? What's the legal activity that violates Malacha Zaraya according to the Shita of the Rishash? Now, the Minchas Chinuch was assuming in the Shita of the Rishash that there's a two-stage sequence which represents the Maisa Malacha. Maisa Malacha is a two-stage process. It begins by putting seeds into the ground, and it continues on until the seeds take root. That was the assumption of the Minchas Chinuch. If you view the Maisa Malacha as this two-stage process that's continuing on till the seeds take root, that halachically speaking, this person is planting seeds and is behind, is performing this Malacha until they take root, so then we have this weird idea of a Maisa Malacha taking place after Shabbos. If we integrate the second stage into the Maisa Malacha, that the taking root is part of the Maisa Malacha, well then we have a Maisa Malacha, you're performing a Malacha after Shabbos, that is untenable. So what we need to do is we need to come up with a different vision of the Maisa Malacha according to the Rishash, which would answer up the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. We need to keep the Maisa on Shabbos and reinterpret the role of Hashrasha. We need to take Hashrasha out of the Maisa and give it a different role in order to make sure that this activity is taking place on Shabbos. That's the methodology for how to answer the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. So anyone now want to finish this off and give us the basic lumnis? So what's the lumnis of the Shita to Rishash? What's the Maisa Malacha, and what's the role of the Hashrasha according to the Rishash? Yeah. Well, yeah, but he's holding the Hashrasha as part of the definition. So what's the role of Hashrasha?
It needs to be in Mitzias, the Hashrasha, or that Hashrasha actually does eventually take place.
Okay, but can you classify that? You're right. Yeah.
I mean, it's the Rishash is saying it's planting in order to grow, and if it doesn't grow, you're not chayav.
Right, but in other words, right, so we're going to use the word tanai. What you have to say is that the Maisa Malacha is, he agrees with the Minchas Chinuch. The Maisa Malacha is the activity of putting seeds into the ground, what we call the Pu'ulas Zriya. The activity of putting the seeds into the ground is the Maisa Malacha. But as opposed to the Minchas Chinuch, who stopped right over there, the Rishash is going to hold that there's a Tanai. There's a condition that needs to be met to render this a significant activity. Because if you put seeds into the ground and they don't end up taking root, well, then in retrospect, you didn't do a significant activity. What did you do? You put seeds into the ground, they didn't take root. So there's a tanai that this activity will only turn into the maisa, would only be rendered significant as a maisa if the seeds take root. If the seeds take root, then retroactively, what you did was a significant act. You did an act that led to Hashrasha, as Gavriel put it. The maisa is planting the seeds. But if it doesn't lead to Hashrasha, it's not significant. In retrospect, if it did take root, retroactively you did a significant activity, that's going to be the sowed behind the sheets of the Rishash. If you touch it up that way, that the Maisa is the sowing, and the Hashrash is just a Tanai, so that ends up the Kasha of the Minchas Chinuch, because of course the Malach is taking place on Shabbos itself. When I sow the seeds on Shabbos, that's the whole Maisa Malach. We just have to wait till Tuesday to make sure that in retrospect you did a significant act. If on Tuesday they didn't take root, then retroactively you did a meaningless activity. if they do take root on Tuesday, retroactively on Shabbos, you did a significant act. Retroactively, you did a Maisa Malacha. So that's the classic lumdis that we need to say for the Rishash to answer up the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. You have a question? Okay, fine. Now, just to add a little bit more of a conception behind this machlokas, since Miles was pushing me, the basic formulation of machlokas is how to define the ma'isa. We're saying the Minchas Chinuch is holding that the ma'isa malacha is the act of sowing. The Rishash is holding that the ma'isa malacha is sowing with a t'nai that it takes root. That's the basic machlokas. If you want to get a little bit more conceptual, so in response to Miles' point, the real machlokas on a conceptual level is whether this notion of the productive effect of purpose has to be integrated into the notion of a siyas malacha. Does the concept of performing malacha need to accomplish the purpose? Does it have to be built into the definition of the malacha? The Rishash is holding that by definition, a malacha always has to accomplish the purpose. If you don't have the purpose in the malacha itself, then it doesn't make sense as a malacha. The whole notion of malacha is about productivity, and so the purpose has to be built into the malacha. So by bishul, the purpose is built into the malacha. It has to bake. In order to define a meaningful malacha, it has to bake. And by zareah as well, the purpose has to play a role in the malacha. Hashrasha has to be part of defining malacha's zareah. That's the shita of the Rishash. Minchas Chinuch, although in logic his shita may have made more sense, but on a conceptual level, Miles is pointing out, it's a little bit more difficult. He's having this notion that we don't always need the purpose to be integrated into the malacha. By bishul, we're able to pull it off. By bishul, the purpose is part and parcel of the malacha. The malacha includes waiting for the dough to bake. By zoreya, Minchas Chinuch is holding the purpose is not part of the malacha. Malacha is to do an act that's geared towards accomplishing the purpose. You do an act of sowing seeds in an area that's fit to grow. You did an activity that's geared towards accomplishing the purpose. The purpose is not actually integrated into the activity. It's a tremendous chiddush on a conceptual level. So I'm not necessarily answering Miles' question, but I'm just taking what he pointed out and I'm framing it in this manner that on a deeper level, what they're arguing about is whether the notion of malacha can exist without the purpose. Minchas Chinuch is having this pretty wild idea that you don't need the purpose to be integrated into the malacha. As long as you do an act that's geared towards accomplishing the purpose, that is sufficient. So that's the real deeper machlokas on a conceptual level. Okay. Okay, a little philosophical here. Well, okay. But let's move over now to discussing some nafkaminas in this machlokas. We're going to discuss three basic nafkaminas in this machlokas. We'll go from simple to sophisticated. Nafkamina number one. The first nafkamina is really the simplest nafkamina, which everyone really is probably aware of, but it's also the most halacha maisa nafkamina, so we'll just emphasize it. And that is like this. Question becomes, let's say a person puts seeds into the ground on Shabbos, so is it meaningful for him to pull the seeds out of the ground to save himself from violating Malacha Zareah? If you put seeds into the ground, can you save yourself from the bad punishment of Chilul Shabbos by pulling them out of the ground? So obviously the Rishash spells out that you can, that since the Malacha isn't complete until the seeds take root, if you pull them out of the ground, you're going to save yourself from violating Chilul Shabbos. It could be, depending on if the seeds are edible or not, they may be muksa, so it could be you'd have to wait till after Shabbos to pull them out of the ground. But certainly if you do it before Tuesday, you'll save yourself from violating the malacha of Zoreah. Whereas according to the Minchas Chinuch, since the malacha is done, the maisa is complete, as soon as you sow the seeds, so you're stuck. You violated the malacha, and pulling them out of the ground after is totally not going to do anything significant. So that is nafkamina number one, just a very basic nafkamina of if you can save yourself by pulling the seeds out of the ground. Fine. Nafkamina number two. I think this is the issue that Yair brought up. And this is as follows. Our second nafkamina brings us over to the malacha of bishul. See, as opposed to zareya, where we're having a machlokas, when you violate malacha zareya, do you violate zareya at the time that you put them in the ground, or do you violate zareya at the time of the hashrasha? Everyone agrees that by bishul, you only violate the malacha once the dough actually bakes. That's an explicit gemara in Daf Dalet. Bishul certainly is a process that's only complete once the dough actually bakes. So the big question that comes up in the Achronim is like this. Let's say, right before Shabbos is over, a person takes a raw piece of food and he puts it onto the fire. Then, it takes some time for the food to cook. By the time it cooks, Shabbos is done. So you started the process before Shabbos is done, but it only became complete when Shabbos is Nigmar. The question becomes, will you violate Melechus Bishul in this situation? The fact that you started the Melacha before Shabbos, is that sufficient to violate the Melacha? Or is the fact that it's only being complete after Shabbos going to prevent the violation of Melechus Bishul? So this is going to be another nafkamina in the Machlokas Rishash versus Minchas Chinuch. I don't want to have the reason why, the logic why this is going to be totally on Rishash Minchas Chinuch. Yeah.
The purpose hasn't been completed until after Shabbos.
So therefore what?
Rishash would say that you're not chayiv.
Rishash said you're not chayiv?
You're chayiv retroactively.
What did he say?
You're chayiv retroactively.
Good. According to the Minchas Chinuch.
Minchas Chinuch would say no because the purpose wasn't completed.
Right. Exactly. Right.
I think the Minchas Chinuch says they're not. It's not comparable to Bishul, no?
Right. Exactly. Good. So, therefore, what meaning? There's a certain logic here. So they just spelled it out. So let's team of Azared here. Fine. Yeah. Okay. So just to spell out the analysis, starting with the shita of the Rishash. So the Rishash's whole shita was that we have to make an equation between Bishul and Zoraya. He started out by saying that just like by Bishul, Malach isn't complete until the dough is baked. So we carry that over to Zoraya, and Zoraya also isn't complete until the seeds take root. We make an equation between these two malachas. That was the Yisod of the Rishash. So the Rishash spells out that if we're going to equate the two malachas and carry Bishul over to Zoraya, we should also carry Zoraya over to Bishul. By Zoraya, says the Rishash, the whole malacha always is never complete until after Shabbos. The whole malacha of Zoraya is putting the seeds into the ground on Shabbos and finishing the malacha after Shabbos. Now, what the lumness of that is, we discussed the lumness behind that. But be that as it may, he's perfectly fine with this notion of a malacha starting on Shabbos and being complete after Shabbos. That's the whole musag. The whole malacha of Zoraya always has that infrastructure. That's the whole malacha. So it says the Rishash, if we're making this full equation between Bishul and Zoraya, just like we carry Bishul over to Zoraya, we should carry Zoraya over to Bishul. And so by Bishul as well, as long as you start the malacha before Shabbos is over, even if it's complete after Shabbos, it'll be perfectly permissible. That's going to be the shita of the Rishash. What's the lumness behind that? What's the lumness behind the Rishash's shita by Melechus Bishul? How is he okay with the food being baked after Shabbos? What's the lumness behind the Rishash by Bishul?
Also, the Maisa.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
The Rishash's lumness is going to be the Maisa Melacha of Melechus Bishul. This is the kickoff for analyzing Melechus Bishul. The Maisa Melacha of Melechus Bishul is putting the food on the fire. That's the Maisa Melacha. There's a T'nai that for this Maisa to be rendered significant, the food needs to be baked. Not that that's necessarily a chalik of the Maisa, but there's a T'nai that the food needs to be baked in order to render it a significant act. And so therefore, as long as you put the food onto the fire before Shabbos is over, even though it's baked after Shabbos, retroactively, your activity on Shabbos is significant. You're chayav for what you did on Shabbos itself. So that's the lumness behind the Rishash by Bishul. It's a very critical yisod in terms of Melechus Bishul. We're not learning that malacha, but just to spell out the lumness. That's the shita of the Rishash. On the other hand, moving over to the Minchas Chinuch, so he argues in the Rishash explicitly. He says that if you put the food up on the fire before Shabbos and it bakes after Shabbos, you're going to be pater. Because the Minchas Chinuch is not okay with this notion of malacha carrying on into the week. He doesn't have this Maisa Tanai idea. According to the Minchas Chinuch, it's always part of the Maisa. It's one big Maisa. And whatever the malacha is, it's got to be done on Shabbos itself. Anything going after Shabbos is never going to be chayav. So by Bishul as well, if you're going to be chayav for Bishul, everything has to be done on Shabbos itself. If it bakes after Shabbos, you're going to be pater. So that is nafkamina number two. Once again, this case where you put the food up to cook right before Shabbos is over, it cooks after Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah is going to say that you're chayiv. Just like by Zoraya, the whole malacha is chayiv when it goes after Shabbos, so too by Bishul as well, you're chayiv. Whereas according to the Minchas Chinuch, you're going to be pater. There can never be a malacha taking place after Shabbos. And as Eli pointed out, the lum is behind the Rosh Hashanah. He's giving us the Yisod and Bishul. There's a very Yisodistic of Machlokes here in Bishul, which is how to look at the role of the bread being baked. This really is a big kickoff analysis to Melechus Bishul. We're having a Chakir now in Bishul. What is the role of the bread being baked? Everyone's agreeing by Bishul, there are two components to Melechus Bishul. There's putting the food up to cook, and the food being cooked. What's the role of these two components? The Rishash is saying it's a Maisa and a Tanai, that the Maisa Melech of Bishul is putting the food up to cook, with a Tanai that the food actually bake. Whereas the Minchas Chinuch is saying it's all part of the Maisa. It's a two-stage Maisa Melacha. The Maisa Melacha begins with putting the food up to cook. It's only being complete. The Maisa is carrying on until the food is baked. And so that's why after Shabbos, you cannot have any of this Maisa taking place after Shabbos. Otherwise, you're going to be pater. So I just threw in an added nekuda there, just that we're just highlighting that this second nafkamina is a major machlokus on a conceptual level by Malachas Bishul, how to look at the role, the infrastructure of Malachas Bishul on a conceptual level. Someone have a question here? Yeah.
What happens, according to Rosh Hashanah, when Tanai happens on Shabbos?
Great. Then whoa. Am I cooking on Shabbos also? What am I doing?
No, but when you put the flame, when you put the pond of flame on Shabbos,
okay,
and base after Shabbos, you go back to the fact that there was a denial to the Bishul, so therefore the act on Shabbos was significant.
100%, exactly.
So when you do a mice during the weekday and the Tanai happens on Shabbos, if I was put something on there,
okay,
and I would go back to the significance of my action.
Are you asking the following question? Let's say I put up raw food on Friday, it cooks on Shabbos. Is that your question?
Yeah.
100%. Everyone agrees that if you put a chalent up, a raw chalent to cook up on Friday, it cooks on Shabbos, you're certainly going to be pater.
Because of the fact that the Tanai is happening on Shabbos.
So you could say, even according to Minchas Chinuch, the whole first part of Malachas Bishul took place during the weekday. The whole activity took place during the weekday. So certainly you're going to be pater in that case, but that's a very good case to help appreciate the concepts we're setting up. Yeah.
Doesn't it have to be that it was mostly cooked before Shabbos and then it finished cooking up?
On Shabbos?
I think so.
That's for their abundance. For their abundance, there's certainly certain their abundance that require that. But on a deraisa level, yeah, fine. So let's go over to nafkamina number 3. Our third nafkamina begins with that Mishnah in Makos on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah there in Makos tells us the following din. Says that a person can do one activity of plowing on Yontif and violate 8 different Yisurim. If we stack the deck just so, if we set up the case just so, you can do one activity of plowing and violate 8 different Yisurim. What are the 8 different Yisurim? So we're not going to spell them all out, but we'll just spell out the one we need for our purposes, which is the Yisur of Klei HaKerem. One of the 8 Yisurim is the violating the Yisur of planting Klei HaKerem. We know you cannot plant certain mixtures of different forms of vegetation. That's the Isser of Klei HaKerem. And so the Mishnah says that while you're plowing, what you're going to do is you're going to cover a mixture of Klei HaKerem, and that act of covering is equivalent of planting, and so therefore it's going to violate that Isser. So the Mishnah is telling us that if you plow over Klei HaKerem, you're going to violate 8 Yisurim, one of them being Klei HaKerem, and 7 other Yisurim, as the Mishnah tells us. That's the din in the Mishnah. Comes along the Gemara there, and it brings Ula, who raises the following question. Ula says, why are you telling me that you only violate 80 Yisurim? If the whole goal of the Mishnah is to come up with as many Yisurim as possible, let's turn it into 90 Yisurim. Because the Mishnah itself spells out that this whole event is taking place on Yontif itself. So let's add a 9th Yisur of Melech Zorayah. If you're plowing over Klei HaKerem being forms of vegetation, when you cover the Klei HaKerem, just like it's called planting Klei HaKerem, it's also called planting Stamazoi. You're planting on Yontif. If covering the Klei HaKerem is planting this vegetation on Yontif, let that violate Malaches Zoraya. So that's the kash of Ula there in the Gemara. Let's add a 9th Isser into the mix, the Malacha of Zoraya. Now, the Gemara there gives an answer to this question, but for our purposes, it's a technical answer. The Gemara is okay with this notion of Zoraya in principle taking place in this scenario. It just has a technical reason why it wasn't counted in the Mishnah. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch, and the Minchas Chinuch says that he heard a kasha on the sugya in the name of Rav Yonason Eibshitz. Rav Yonason Eibshitz had a problem in this Gemara, and he heard in the Beis Medrash that this kasha from Rav Yonason on this Gemara. What's the kasha of Yonason Eibshitz? So the kasha is like this. We know the halacha is that when you do a malacha on Shabbos or Yontif, it's only going to be aser deraisa if it's done in a constructive manner. If you do a malacha, if you perform it in a manner that's productive, what we call a tikkun, so then it's going to be chayav. But if you do a malacha in a manner that's destructive, that we call a kilkul, so it's going to be pater. That's the classic rule when it comes to Hilcha Shabbos. It's the Mishnah Kuf Hei on the Beis, Kol Makalkalin, Peturin, that's the rule by Hilcha Shabbos. So Yonason Eibshitz is bothered by the following question. The halacha is that when you plant Klei HaKerem, aside from the fact that it's asur to do, it's prohibited to plant this mixture of vegetation. There's another din that the mixture becomes asr bahana. Once they grow together, so they become asr bahana, and therefore, fine, that's the din by klei kerem. So, frekt, Rav Yonah and Eibshitz, so what's going on in this Gemara Makos? Gemara Makos is suggesting that when you plow over klei kerem, when you do the equivalent of planting klei kerem, aside from violating the isr of klei kerem, you should also violate the malacha of Zoraya. Says Rav Yonah, but what are you talking about? This is doing Zoraya in a manner that's destructive. This is a very unproductive form of Zoraya. When you plant klei kerem, you're planting something that's doomed for destruction. It's asr bahana, so that should be called the kilkul. So how is the Gemara suggesting that there should be a ninth chiyuv, a ninth iser deraisa for planting klei kerem, for violating Zoraya when you plant the klei kerem, when this is a destructive form of melecha Zoraya, and therefore it should be patar based on the rule, kol ha-mekalkalin peturin. That's the kasha of Rav Yonah and Eibshitz on this Gemara. Okay. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch, and he wants to answer up this question. So I'll tell you guys the idea, and then we'll see if someone can just finish it off, what he's going to answer to this question. The Minchas Chinuch says like this. He says that the idea is that the Isser of Klei Kerem doesn't take place right when you put the mixture into the ground. It only takes place once they take root. The Isser Hanah only sets in once they take root and they grow together. So based on that idea, what's he going to tell us to answer up the question of Rav Yonah and Eibshitz? How are we going to avoid the issue of Mekalkel?
Violated right away.
What do you violate right away?
If the Isser Hadah, the destructive part of it, is only when it takes root, but the Isser Vais Ri is right away.
Exactly. So Minchas Chinuch says, based on my Yesod, based on my Shita and Zaraya, I can answer up his Kasha. Because, once again, what's the Shita of Minchas Chinuch? When you violate Melech Zaraya, as soon as you place the seeds into the ground. Zaraya is violated immediately upon placing the seeds into the ground. When does the Isser Hadah set in? When you plant Klei HaKerem, when does the Isser Hadah set in? Doesn't set in right away. It only sets in once they grow together. Once they grow together, that's when the Isra Hanah sets in. But according to the Minchas Chinuch, already before the Isra Hanah set in, as soon as you place the seeds into the ground, you've already completed the entire malach. So according to my Shita, says the Minchas Chinuch, there's no problem of Mekalkel. The entire malach of Zerei was done in a perfectly productive manner. I planted two seeds. I did a malacha in a productive manner. Although in a few seconds they're going to grow together and become asr bahana, that's taking place after I've done melecha zareya, and so therefore it's not going to be a problem of mekalkel. Now he does emphasize, he says that the truth of the matter is, when I plant klei kerem and I do the activity of melecha zareya, it's not even definitive that this is going to become asr bahana. When I put this mixture into the ground, let's say, where I'm plowing over it really, but we'll call it planting it. When I plant klei kerem, and right now I did melecha zareya, the truth of the matter is, It may never become asr bahana. Let's say somebody now comes along, I plant this klei kerem, and somebody comes along, and before they take root, he pulls out one of the two mixtures, one of the two ingredients. If someone will come along and pull out one of the two ingredients, the remaining item is not going to be asr bahana. So I'm doing a malach of zarei, I'm planting, you know, the two different species that are asr bahana. As soon as I put them in the ground, I did the malach of zarei. It's not even definitive that it'll become asr bahana. Maybe in 5 seconds after I put them in the ground, before they take root and become asr, someone will come along and pull one out of the ground, in which case the remaining seed that I planted will never become asr bahana. So it's not even definitive that my ma'aseh zariah, my malach of zariah, will even lead to something destructive, and therefore it's perfectly permissible, it's a perfect violation of malach of zariah, there's no issue of mekalkel. That's how the Minchas Chinuch answers up the kasha of Rav Yonah and Eibshitz. What's Rav Yonah and Eibshitz holding? He didn't hold this answer in the Minchas Chinuch, so what would be the simple answer from Rav Yonah and Eibshitz? What's he going to be holding? Like the Rishash. The Rav Yonah and Eibshitz is going to be holding that the malach of Zerei is not complete until the seeds take root. Since it's not complete until the seeds take root, when you plant klei hakerem, I plant this mixture, and then they grow together, as soon as the Isra Hanah sets in, that's simultaneous with the completion of this malacha. I put the seeds into the ground. When the seeds grow together, that's when malacha zareya is complete. It's not complete when I put the seeds into the ground. It's only complete once they grow together. At that exact time when they grow together and they finish malacha zareya, at that very moment, I'm also, the Isra Hanah is setting in. And so the Isra Hanah is simultaneous with malacha zareya. And so according to the Rishash, we couldn't presumably give the same answer of Minchas Chinuch, or certainly Rav Yonah is holding that like the Rishash, that if the Hashrash is a chalik of the Malacha, since the Isra'na sets in at the same time, we cannot say that this is not a kilkel, it should be mikalkel. So to say it in shorthand, nafkamina number three between the Rishash versus the Minchas Chinuch is if you plant Klei HaKerem on Shabbos or Yontif. What is the Halacha when you plant Klei HaKerem on Shabbos or Yontif? According to the Minchas Chinuch, he is saying that there's no mikalkel. You would violate Zareya Midaraisa, because as soon as you put the seeds into the ground, before the Irsa Anah sets in, you're going to violate this Malacha. And although in a few moments they're going to become Asher Bahanah, but first of all, that's taking place after I already did the Malacha. And second of all, it's not even definitive. Maybe someone will come along and pluck one out of the ground. Whereas according to the Rishash, Rav Yonasan Eibshitz is holding, like the Rishash, that the Malacha is only complete once the seeds take root. And so if you plant Klei HaKerem, there should be a Mekalkel, because when the Malacha of Zareya is complete, this Rahana is setting in. Okay, so we're going to make up for going overboard a few times last week. We'll end a few minutes early. So just to quickly summarize, we kicked off Zareya with our two introductory points. We have the Av Malacha, Miri versus Rambam. The Miri has one Av Malacha of planting seeds. Everything else is a Tolda. Whereas according to the Rambam, we have Ko Avos again. The whole list on Ein Gimel Aves are included in the Av Malacha. Our second point in the introduction was the productive quality. What's the essence of the Malacha promoting plant growth? That was point two. And we came to Machlokas Rishash Minchas Chinuch. We pointed out this phenomenon that the act of Zareya is separate from the purpose. There's a time delay between the act and the purpose. When do you violate the Malacha? At the act or the purpose? Machlokas Rishash Minchas Chinuch. Rishash says you go by the purpose. You violate the Malacha at the time of the purpose. His present is Bishul. By Bishul, you're not chayev till the purpose is accomplished of cooking. So to here, you're not chayev till the purpose. Minchas Chinuch felt that was illogical. So Minchas Chinuch had said, really, you're chayev immediately when you put the seeds into the ground. Bishul is one Malacha, Zareya is a different Malacha. So that was part one. Part two, we did a little bit of a conceptual analysis. We saw that according to Minchas Chinuch, the Maisa Malacha is sowing seeds, whereas according to Rishash, so the Minchas Chinuch thought it was a two-part Maisa Malacha, in which case the Maisa is extending till after Shabbos. So we explained the classic Lumdis from Gavriel and Miles was to say, the Maisa is putting seeds into the ground. There's a Tanai that they take root to retroactively deem it a significant activity. I threw in a little bit of a deeper conception of whether the purpose is critical to the Malacha. That's on a deeper level what they're really arguing about. Then we had our three nafkaminas. Nafkamina one was, if you put seeds into the ground, can you take them out before they take root to save yourself? Nafkamina two is, if you put food up to cook right before Shabbos is over, if you take it, but it cooks after Shabbos, are you going to violate the Malacha? The Rishash equates Sarei and Bishul, so he says you will be chayiv. And the Cheskenach says no such thing as a Malacha taking place after Shabbos. And the third nafkamina was, if you plant Klei HaKerem on Shabbos or Yontif, is that kilkel? We violate Zareya Midaraisa. The Minchas Chinuch says, according to me, it will not be a kilkel. The whole Malacha took place before the Isra Anah sets in, and it may not set in. Maybe you'll remove one of the two seeds from the ground. Whereas according to the Rishash, so Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz is holding, it is a kilkel because you have to wait for the seeds to take root to have Malacha Zareya be complete, and by the time that the Malacha is complete, the Isra Anah has already set in. Okay, so have a wonderful day. Shkayach.